take your heart pills and buckle up.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Major trade that just happened in this draft. Major. Is AJ Brown on the trade block?
As long as I'm the coach here, I would want to have AJ Brown on my football team.
The Rich Eisen Show.
He's still coaching the Tennessee Titans, and AJ Brown is on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Take your heart pills and buckle up.
Earlier on the show, Jets general manager Joe Douglas. Cardinals general manager Steve Keim. Still to come, Eagles general manager Howie Roseman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Ian Rappaport, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, will be joining us in the middle of this hour to kind of spin everything forward. We're still reviewing the 262 draft selections at the NFL Draft, fresh back from Las Vegas, Nevada. We had general managers of both the Jets and Joe Douglas and Arizona Cardinals Steve Keim was on this program. But before we go to our phone lines and welcome in Howie Roseman of the Philadelphia Eagles, I just want to hit the Wayback Machine a little bit, Chris, and everybody else.
Hit back.
At the Combine in March. Remember, we had our friend of the program, and I'm a friend of his program, Gio the podcaster, Giovanni the podcaster. We had him on during the Combine in the booth, and he's a diehard Eagles fan, and this was what he said when I brought up the name of our next guest. Well, I mean, Howie Roseman might be listening right now.
Yeah.
Gio. So what would you tell him if he was listening to you right now about your Eagles?
Wide receivers and linebackers. Please, Howie, for the love of God, get us some linebackers.
For the love of God.
For the love of God.
Now, if I had told him, hey, how would A.J. Brown and N'Kobe Dean suit you?
Oh, my gosh.
It would suit, and it is suiting the Philadelphia Eagles and the aforementioned Howie Roseman here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line from the Philadelphia Eagles here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Howie?
How we doing, Rich? What's going on?
I think you made Gio very happy.
For our fans.
Gio very happy, right?
Well, I did. I did tell Gio. I said I appreciate everything, but you know, he came up to me and he had a jersey on of one of our former players, and
I'm like,
can I buy you a new jersey at least, dude? You know, like, can I get you a current jersey? So I'm hoping that now I can get him a new jersey that he can rock.
Maybe
know?
So.
Like, get back to rocking, like, you know, someone who plays for the Eagles on Sunday.
Maybe that will be more helpful to the whole cause, no doubt about that. Let me just jump in and start with A.J. Brown with you, because we had Mike Vrabel on this program just 2-3 weeks ago and asked him about any rumors about A.J. Brown, and he's like, as long as I'm a coach, he's going to be here, and he's still a coach, and now he's playing for your team. When did he show up on your radar screen, Howie?
Well, it's hard not to be aware of A.J. Brown and what kind of player he is and the difference that he makes. You know, it's you just watch him in the playoffs. You watch him every game, really, since he's played in the National Football League, and the guy's a difference maker. And I just think, you know, it was something that had to work for both sides and for where we were and where Tennessee is. I'm appreciative of J-Rob and Coach Vrabel, and I think it was a win-win situation where they were able to get picks and cost control picks, and you know, we're in a situation with a young quarterback on a rookie deal that we were able to kind of take a swing here at a great player.
So did that happen day before draft, weeks before? Like, can you walk me through the timeline?
I think as you get closer to the draft, you know, conversations get more serious because of the deadline of the draft, and especially when you're talking about first round picks and being able to use them that year and improve your team as opposed to, you know, going forward. And so you know, it came together pretty quickly in the 24 hours before the draft, and then we had a balance kind of being on the clock with our other pick and being aware that at the 18th pick, if we weren't finished with our deal, obviously that wouldn't work for us or the Titans, and so trying to finish a deal with AJ's representatives, Tor Dandy, who's unbelievable, and longtime relationship with him and Jimmy Sexton and those guys at CAA, and so that's what we were doing, and we made the trade for Jordan, and then got back on the phone and closed the deal with AJ, and then we're on the clock at 18, able to announce it to really even people in the building for the first time, because there's so much going on, and you didn't want to like have this tease, hey, we may get AJ Brown, and You know, so we really, when we were on the clock, was the first time, I think, that we were able even to exhale and tell everyone here. So it was kind of cool.
Well, I think it is. It's also, you know, kind of cool in terms of from someone in my position observing this, where the conversation you hear about what's potentially going on with Debo in San Francisco, DK Metcalf in Seattle, and A.J. Brown, formerly of Tennessee, 3 years in the league, wanting to get paid similar to, say, what Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill, who have more time in the league, would be paid. And Tennessee, despite knowing the player and the coach loving the player, decides we prefer to trade and then draft on the spot his replacement, who's his exact comp, according to my guy Daniel Jeremiah. And you're
my
like
guy, DJ. Yeah. He's our guy.
He's right? Our guy, right? Our guy. And so, but you're like, you know what? We'll trade a first round selection for him and pay him. Why did you why are you do you feel comfortable about doing something like that, Howie?
Well, because it's the known factor. Like, we know who A.J. Brown is. We know who he is in the National Football League. And no matter how confident you are about players in the draft, there's still the unknown factor. You know, you're changing schemes. You're changing location. You're putting money in their pocket. And I'm not saying that to be critical of anyone in this
sure.
draft. You know, I'm just saying that's the reality of it. I mean, you look back at the history of the first round of the draft, and, you know, 4 of 10 guys end up not playing well. And, you know, I think it's really 2 of 10 of them. You got a 20% chance of hitting on a Pro Bowl player. And so I think because of the amount of high picks that we have coming up, you know, we felt like this is a guy that fit for us. You know, the situation made sense for us. You know, certainly not talking about anyone else, just us. You know, it was a compliment to what we had in the building, in the room, and we felt from an offensive perspective he was almost like a missing piece there because of his skill set. And adding him in and the known quality that and commodity that he is different than taking a guy, you know, and plugging him in and saying, yeah, like, this guy can be this. Well, we know who he is.
And your quarterback clearly was very happy. I mean, we saw the snippet of his FaceTime with A.J. Brown, them just like laughing about their good fortune.
They're good friends.
Yeah, they know each other. They're tight. So would you say that now that you've got him and the running game has been so clearly established by your now second-year head coach and you got the Heisman Trophy winner in last year's draft, that things are set up to properly, in your mind, evaluate Jalen Hurts for the long haul? In Philly?
Well, let's not forget some of the other guys that we got on offense, too. You know, mm-hmm. we think we have a tight end that has a chance to be a great player in this
Dallas.
League as well. And we have some other young receivers that we're really high on. And our offensive line is Lynchman. How about freaking Jason Kelsey's reaction? That was awesome. Someone sent that to me like 12:30.
That's
how awesome is Jason Kelsey? Did you see that, Rich?
I did. He is the best. I do love him.
Freaking cool. But I think at the end of the day, you know, like and Jalen's a young player with tremendous ability and tremendous work ethic, and we're going to do whatever we can to surround him and put him in a position to be successful. And you know, it's exciting. You know, we're not. You always feel like coming out of the draft that there are positions that you got to fill, and you're continuing to try to look at those guys. But certainly feel like we're better than we were when we left the field in Tampa. You know, certainly humbling in the playoffs.
So what happens in 2022 definitely informs what you're going to do going into next year's draft at the quarterback position, or not, Howie, would you say?
You know what, Rich? I feel like, you know, in our minds, we're focused on the here and now and making mm-hmm. sure that we do the right things. We have a lot of confidence in Jalen. We're hoping he's our quarterback for a long time. So, you know, when we look at these decisions, we're looking at them, certainly not in a vacuum, but when we got the extra first-round pick, we felt like it was a smart bet to make based on trying to balance some of the assets this year and next year, and certainly feeling like we had a good sense of what would be available in this draft and not having a great sense next year. But some of that makes it appealing, you know, not knowing exactly what's going to come out, and the unknown also gives you hope. But, you know, I think our goal is to surround Jalen and make sure he's got the best possible chance of doing what he's done wherever he's been, and that's winning.
Executive VP and general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, Howie Roseman, here the day after the draft weekend went down in Las Vegas, Nevada, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The general sense that Jordan Davis is a Ravens type of player, did that cause you to go jump the line and go grab him and make sure that he was an Eagles type of player as well, Howie?
Well, So much respect for the Ravens organization, Eric DeCasa, Ozzie Newsome, obviously, and Coach Harbaugh. I think for us, it was more about how important we felt he was to our team building. And, you know, we've always been about the O-line and D-line here, and we feel like he's a unique player with unique personality in person. And, you know, I hear a lot about, well, he can get better at this, but I finished in top 10 in the Heisman voting. He was out when trophy winner and of the best defense in the country. And so he was a pretty productive player. I'm really excited to get Jordan. And I think at the end of the day, you know, where we were picking, we just wanted to make sure he was on our team. And I'm sure, you know, the Ravens are really excited about Kyle.
Of course.
He's a great player in his own right, but we felt it was the right thing for our football team.
To go up there and grab him and make sure
make sure we got him. Just like last year, we wanted to make sure we got Devontae. We wanted to make sure that we got him. We thought it was important.
And then, you know, what's your sense of N'Kobe Dean's health? Because, my gosh, is that guy one of the quickest players I've ever seen? He's also brilliant. He's a smart player, a smart person, a good dude. And the fact that
I love
everything about him. And the fact that you got him when you got him was just shocking to me. What is going on with him?
It's funny, Rich, because a lot of times, you know, you go into the draft and based on what your doctors tell you and you know, the teams in this league, the doctors share information. You know, they don't change information based on it, but they share information. And I would say, like, if you would have told me, you know, Thursday or, you know, before the draft, pick a player who's going to drop because of medical, I would not have picked N'Kobe Dean based on the information we had. So, you know, I think when we were sitting there in the second round, it was kind of like, all right, you know, this is a linebacker who dropped a little bit, maybe because he didn't test. And, you know, obviously he played in the SEC, so he had some bumps and bruises. But when we were sitting there at 51, we were considering picking him. And our fans would probably say, maybe Gio would probably say, out of stubbornness, I'd say more from a team-building perspective, you know, if the tie goes to the O-line, the D-line, you know, that's how it rolls. And that's how it's rolled really since I came into the league with Coach Reed, and that's kind of how I was raised in this profession. And so we took Cam, and that was a hard call. I mean, we were not unanimous in that, and at the end of the day, like, you know, I just felt like keep the main thing, get the offensive lineman, and we took him. And then, you know, you kind of go, all right, I lost that next player. And then, you know, as I'm a little superstitious, so it wasn't like, you know, five picks later we're going, maybe we get N'Kobe. But when we got within around 10 or 15 picks, I just started, you know, calling our doctors, and they were in another room and bringing them in, and are we missing anything? Because it sounds like you know, there's something going on here. And they said, hey, nothing's changed, you know. You draft him, we think he'll be on the field in rookie minicamp, and we're good with him. And so, man, there was a lot of juice getting to N'Kobe Dean. You know, that was fun. And I did see when you had Gio in there getting a little pub. For the love of God, Howie. I mean, but he was probably speaking for Eagles everywhere, right? I get it. You know, I got home, and I got three little boys, and they were like, Dad, you drafted N'Kobe Dean. Like, they were fired up. Like, you want me to be honest, Rich? I'm freaking fired up to have N'Kobe Dean on this team. Let's go.
You should, because he's so incredible, and he's a leader. Like, you could see, I think it was in the national championship game where he was barking at one of the players, and they just backed down right away. They're like, you know, my bad. You know, like, he's that incredible, and you don't need to wonder what he looks like behind Jordan Davis, because you've seen it. I mean, it's unreal that you got the two of them together like that, Howie, you know? And I do like Juergens as well. We've had him on this show. You know, and Philly fans do like their offensive linemen with a bit of flair. You mentioned Jason Kelce already. He's got some nastiness to him as well, Howie. Like him.
There's no doubt. He's an explosive athlete, and, you know, we're fortunate to have, you know, an unbelievable offensive line coach who always maximizes those guys. And, you know, I think, and then you said it, you know, I think our scouting staff is really, really fired up to have the opportunity to come back next year and have two first-round picks. And I know when they get on the road, that's something that they enjoy. And just really fortunate to be surrounded by really good people, Rich. And, you know, get to talk to you, you know.
I appreciate that. No, no, I appreciate that. Good man, Howie. You going to have your beef jerky with whiz wit or whiz without? How's that going to work?
I like it. Huh? I like it. That's awesome. Did you see? You know, he did this little video, like he was working out, like on his cattle farm with cattle, and he was doing pass sets. Did you see this?
I did not see that. Cool. I did not see that.
Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com. That's PHI.
You're a team player, Howie. You're a team player. You're a team player atop that organization. Okay, so now what's next? What does your world look like now?
Well, you know, Coach Sirianni was very, very nice and decided to have rookie minicamp this week. And so now we got to get settled for rookie minicamp and get these guys here. No rest for the weary. And, you know, we got a lot on our plate to get that going. And then we look at our depth chart and we kind of figure out what else we need here to get better. And then, you know, I feel like the Philadelphia Eagles, we've lost some great personnel people across the league the last couple of years. So our plate is full, Rich Eisen.
Okay.
Our plate is full. You know, it's not – I know, like, I get some members of my family, oh, the draft's over. You go on vacation now? Yeah, yeah, we go on vacation.
No,
vacation.
July.
NovaCare Complex, one NovaCare away.
That's about 40 – I know, there's like 48 hours in July you get off. That's it, pretty much.
It's a beautiful thing, man. But you know what? We get to do this for a living. Very fortunate.
No doubt about that. Howie, congrats on your wheeling and dealing and maneuvering and being done with yet another draft. And look for my call in the future. Thanks for the time. Always appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man. All the best.
Right back at you. That's Howie Roseman, everybody, the Philadelphia Eagles. Beef jerky. How much fun was beef jerky on this program when you called it?
I was about to actually order some of that.
Not now.
I can't now. Can't do it.
He will not order the beef jerky. He liked Thibodeau for like 2 seconds.
That was my favorite part of the draft. Sam Prince, the kid who was there with Make-A-Wish and Kayvon Thibodeau, having that moment where they both lost their minds. I love that moment, even though I don't like the Giants. And that's the last time I'll ever cheer for Thibodeau for at least the, you know.
Let me sneak in this call. Jake in Phoenix, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Rich. Welcome back.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
I have two things to say. First off, I am now in a position to where I can make a donation to St. Jude.
Oh, and thank you.
That is only because of you bringing that to the forefront.
Appreciate
so
that.
Thank you.
Thank you. NFL.com/RunRichRun for anybody who wants to join you, Jake, in Phoenix. Appreciate that.
The opportunity that you gave Sam, switching seats, is second to none. And that's why you are the best. So thank you for allowing us to see that.
I appreciate that.
I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Wow.
That was amazing.
Jake, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. And again, he's referring to Sam, who you're referring to, mm-hmm. TJ, where Sam Prince from Make-A-Wish, he's a heart transplant patient who got a new heart and is he's post-transplant and doing well.
Very well, it seems.
Well, and he was so fired up, and he wants to be a sportscaster. So
he was out of this world, and you could feel it through the TV. You could feel the energy and the love,
yeah.
And it was all like, there's no words to express like how happy you made that man when you switched seats.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the call, Jake. I appreciate that. So he came by the set on Saturday. You might have missed this. He came by the set Saturday with his mom and his dad.
Yeah.
And
how old is he?
19.
Okay.
And so he came by the set, and I was told he wants to be a sportscaster. And he was sitting to my left, and the rest of the guys, Peter Schrager, Charles, and Daniel Jeremiah, to his left. And I just had this idea as we're sitting down, because he struck me as someone who would be able to handle this. And I even said to him, hey, are you up for anything? Mm-hmm. And the way he looked at me was the way I think he looked at the card when he read Kayvon Thibodeau's name off.
Yeah.
He the light was there. It was on. He's like, absolutely I'm up for it. Whatever. And I'm like, okay. So about 2 minutes into the interview and the conversation, I said to him, I'm like, all right, how would you said you want to be a sportscaster. How about you host the rest of the segment? And he took my chair and I took his.
Yeah.
And I said to him, you know, can ask any of us a question, and then we're going to show video of you reacting to that pick of Thibodeau from Thursday night, and then you could throw to break. Andy Reid's coming up next. And he not only, he went down the row. Like, he asked DJ a question, and I thought, okay, that's the only question he's going to ask. Then he went to Charles. Then he went to Peter, and then he asked me a question, and his questions were great. Like, he asked DJ, give me your best day two pick. And he asked Charles Davis a question. He asked Peter Schrager a question about an under-the-radar guy. He asked me the Michigan player not named Aiden Hutchinson who went to the best spot. And then he threw it a break, and it was dynamite.
So, yeah, I'm kind of looking at it right now.
Yeah, it was great. The video's out there, and it was just great to meet him. And
like I said, because watching him react, him and Kayvon have that moment, I'm like, that was me when I was a kid, and I got to meet someone I really, not that he's a kid, he's 19, but you're still young. You're still a young man, and you came through a lot.
He's got a new lease on life.
New lease on life. He had to deal with a lot, obviously, and just, man, it was great.
He's a diehard Giant fan. And
that's the only issue, but other than that. But of all the teams I dislike the Giants the least out of all of them, if that makes sense.
Well, it's because they've kind of been down. Like you're not threatened by them.
Well, I mean, they are a threat. But like I said, the other teams I really don't like, I can deal with the Giants. So
Let's take a break. Out of all the teams who haven't been to the playoffs very much, just like mine.
Oh, wow. Like yours? The Jets?
No, I'm saying it like in
like
your
yours.
Shoes.
Oh, your team.
Shoes. Your shoes.
Okay. Your shoes. Because we went to the playoffs.
Ian Rappaport when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Or not.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial Radio Network, along with our Sirius XM Radio Network, and also Odyssey app, and also NBC Sports on Peacock, our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Please hit the subscribe button. Over 405,000 followers now on that, and we greatly appreciate it. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh back from Las Vegas, Nevada, is my colleague who is killing it all week long with us in our draft coverage, Ian Rappaport, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Rapsheet?
I feel like I get hit by a truck, and I do all the fun things in Vegas that people do, but I'm back and let's go.
It's amazing how sitting on your ass and thinking for 72 straight hours that you're on television and what you're doing, how actually mentally and physically debilitating that is. It really is amazing when you put it down that way.
I mean, yeah. And what I did this year was I brought the same thing I did last year, which is a Theragun, you know, like one of those percussion massagers, just to make sure my body doesn't collapse on me in day three. But I was too obsessed with getting booted off the show and having a bad stump the truck that I forgot to use my Theragun. So I was a mess in all sorts of ways.
Yeah, did you see that stump the truck moment, Chris? Did you see that?
I did not.
On our segment where everybody comes up with a name or of a small school player that our truck does not have footage of, and that's very difficult to find because we've got the best in the business. Ian gave them the name of a player who went back to school. And he then said it was Mike Garofalo gave you that bad information.
That is correct. Yep.
And so then we Ed Marinaro to him off the show. We had somebody come and take him off the set. It was actually a very funny moment. Ian.
And it was also ridiculous because, you know, we report a lot of things, and God forbid something goes wrong or a player doesn't sign like he's supposed to, or, you know, something happens. If I'm at the center of it, my phone blows up. And so I'm like literally walking around our suite again to make sure my body doesn't collapse. And my phone explodes and it's like, oh no, Ian, what happened? And I'm like, what could I possibly have done? Like, what literally could it be? And then it was like, you ruined Stump the Truck. I'm like, oh my God.
Hashtag. Oh my God. Hashtag. Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, let's play the why didn't fill in the blank get traded? Why didn't Debo get traded? Why did Debo not get traded?
Because the 49ers didn't want to, and because they didn't get an offer that forced them to. So it's interesting when, and you know, these trade offers don't always get made public. But once I knew, I don't know, like once I knew Debo wasn't happening on Friday morning, I mentioned what the offer was. And what's interesting about trade offers is you can actually go in the trade value chart and figure out, like, was it worth it, was it not? So, like, you can look at, you know, let's say one team trades for another player. You can look at the trade value chart and be like, oh, wow, like, the Lions got a great deal on their Jameson Williams trade, for instance, whatever it is. And I looked up the Jets offer, which was, it was a 1 and 111 for 61, I believe. And it's not quite the 13th overall pick. So they just didn't view it as a good enough offer. And the Lions' offer was, I think, a 1 and a 3. And the 49ers didn't view that as a good enough offer. And they wanted to keep the player anyway. So they just didn't trade him. And I think we were all waiting for, like what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, you know, they can't take him back. And the 49ers are like, yeah, like, well, we didn't get enough. We like the player. We'll fix it. But now it's going to get interesting just as far as how they actually fix it.
What needs fixing based on your information?
Just the relationship. You know, like, and I think when a player, so much goes into asking to be traded, and I think, you know, we've talked about his role. He doesn't want to be a running back. We talked about that. You know, I'd say there was some other issues below the surface that, you know, Debo feels some sort of way about. We've seen it get fixed in the past. We've seen players, actually the 49ers have had a couple of them. Robbie Gould, I think, was one. Player Raheem Mostert was another who asked to be traded, then came back. So it's not impossible. And Lynch and Shanahan are very charismatic, so perhaps they could do it, but they got to bring Debo back into the fold. And, you know, they've been willing to do a contract. That generally helps people feel better. Like, A.J. Brown didn't want to leave the Titans, just really, really liked the Titans. Eagles gave him a good opportunity, plus a huge bag of money, and that makes sometimes people feel better.
Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show. Why didn't Baker Mayfield get traded over the weekend?
There are two reasons for that. One was they couldn't agree on money. They couldn't agree on how the salary would be split. And when we've seen these in the past, which obviously we saw one last year with Teddy Bridgewater, you know, the Panthers were clearly moving on, so they had to deal him. And I think I can't remember the exact number. I thought it was split basically down the middle on his, like, you know, $16 or $17 million salary, whatever it was. So one side took half, the other side took the other half. They gave him a late round pick. Boom, Bridgewater traded. The problem here is that he has a little more value to the Browns because they may have to use him. or they may have to pretend they might have to use him, or Deshaun Watson might get suspended and they might really, really have to use him, which, you know, people are having a hard time understanding, and I 100% agree. However, I would also argue maybe it makes sense for Baker Mayfield to be a starting quarterback again, even with the Browns, to redo his stock. So there's a lot going on here, and I think the Panthers at some point go, you know what, we're just going to take this rookie. Like, we're just going to trade up and take this rookie. We're just going to move on from this whole thing. And so that's what they did.
So it was the Panthers that had the interest?
It was the Panthers, yeah. And I didn't get the sense that there was any other teams involved. And, you know, we were talking on the broadcast Saturday about the Seahawks. Like, I kind of never got the sense they were in the mix there.
Hmm. So what's his option? It looks like he's not going anywhere until, what, he becomes the Sam Bradford for another team that needs him because their quarterback had a freak accident. I mean, you're banking on a freak accident or a suspension by, you know, of Deshaun Watson. Those are his two best options to find work?
I think that's it. But yeah, I mean, banking on a freak accident or banking on, okay, like, this sucks, but I'm going to have to go play for this team again. And there's so many, like, different levels to this. Let's just say the Browns are good. I think they're going to be good. So let's just say Baker goes out there for four games. I have no idea what Deshaun Watson's suspension is going to be, if there is one. But just for the sake of this discussion, let's say it's four games. So then let's say he goes 3-1. Might somebody go, you know what? That looks like Baker of old. He's healthy. He's good. He's confident. Maybe I'll trade that guy midseason if I lose my quarterback. Like, it's all good for him, even though it's a bad situation overall.
Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show. Why did A.J. Brown get traded?
Because the Titans would not give him a contract that he would sign. You know, I think what their contract offer to him was, it was up to $20 million a year. I remember the Eagles gave him $25 a year, but it was up to $20 million a year. But it was backloaded, so I think the first couple of years were like $15 million or $16 million, something like that. So they wouldn't go up. And the Eagles had actually, like, under the radar, made a pursuit of him. And the Titans wouldn't engage. Once talks broke down, it was like, all right, we're either – and I think things really kicked into gear, ironically, kind of when I found out about it. Not that I had any – I'm just saying when I found out about it, like 1 or 2 p.m., this was a really fast deal to get done. But it had to, because if you're going to trade for a one, you got to do it in time to make the pick. And the Titans needed to be able to replace him. So once it was like, all right, talks are breaking down, we're not going to do this deal, now we have to trade him because we got to get the pick back. So then it was like really just a mad dash. And they got it done, and he got a really nice deal.
He did. And then the Titans were able to draft his exact comp, according to Daniel Jeremiah. So where does
I'm sorry to interrupt. Sure. I thought that was such a cool part of our show. It was like, as soon as it happened, I could hear Daniel Jeremiah laughing because he goes, this is my exact comp. And I thought it was so a perfect explanation for why it happened, how a team moves on. It was, the whole thing was very cool.
Yeah, I mean, and he did another one happened when Desmond Ridder gets drafted by Atlanta. His comp for Desmond Ridder is Marcus Mariota. You know, and so, I mean, that happened multiple times during our 3 days, just a testament to how terrific Daniel is at evaluating and executing his vision for us as a broadcaster. But, you know, to see this happen, though, where one team's like, yeah, I'll pay a guy going to his fourth year $25 million, a year, and the other team's like, we're not doing it. As a matter of fact, we're going to draft his exact comp replacement here, and have more contractual control at the amount of money that he might earn over the first 4 years of the deal is exactly the annual salary we were unwilling to pay somebody. You know, I just find that fascinating to me, that this receiver position in the NFL and where it's going, fascinating to me.
I am so with you. We've never really seen anything like this, where you have one side firmly convinced that, all right, there is a number at this position I will just not go higher than, even if it's my own guy who I love, who I drafted, who I could show everyone how right I was for drafting this guy and pay him a bunch of money, and I just believe the value was too high, I'm not going to do it. And then you have another side who goes, I must have this guy. I don't care what I'll pay him. I'll make him the highest paid receiver and trade draft picks for him because that's how valuable he will be to us. and we're talking about the same player. And, like, there's not a lot of precedent for this where you have homegrown players who their team won't pay but have so much value to the outside world that they can get a first-round pick and more and a huge contract to get these guys. Like, it is as, like, diametrically opposed as anything we've seen in the NFL.
And I'm just wondering if we're ever going to see it, because we've seen that at running back position for quite some time, and we're kind of seeing it at the receiver position now. I'm wondering if we're ever going to see it at the quarterback spot. And, you know, right now, Kyler Murray's kind of on that clock. I had Steve Keim on the show over an hour ago. There's nowhere to trade. He couldn't have been more, adamant about not trading him and then open to paying him. Where do you think that actually is in between those lines right now, Ian?
As far as just how willing they are to pay him?
Yeah, and then at what freight, you know, where does that come in? Like, what's that number now that you know another quarterback has gotten fully guaranteed over $230 million?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so interesting because, like, what Steve Keim doesn't want to do is to be like, well, we think he's awesome, but not quite as good as a bunch of other teams have. Like, you never want to do that. It's just hard to, you know, you have to assess a value to it. So my guess is he gets somewhere in the early 40 range, with a chance to make it to Deshaun. One problem is he has, you know, his limited playoff experience, limited playoff. I don't think he has a playoff win yet, right?
That's correct.
And so, like, he's going to get better, and he's taken this team to a great place, but he also doesn't have a ton of leverage because he's probably not getting traded, clearly not getting traded. And if he was, it was going to be before the draft. So my guess is they'll figure on some sort of figure before training camp, but this is definitely one of the harder ones to do. Whereas, like, you know, we talk about Lamar Jackson's contract, which I don't think is coming anytime soon. Like, he's a former MVP who's awesome. Like, he's probably going to get all of the money. With Kyler, maybe it's a little different, but we'll see how close he gets.
And how much, before I let you go, we kind of had this discussion on Saturday on live television as well. Might as well have it here. How much more complicated does it make things for the Ravens planning purposes, salary cap massaging purposes, to have Lamar not want to take the bag right now and maybe even go franchise tag year to franchise tag year until he feels that he's comfortable accepting the Ravens' generationally enriching contract offer? You know, like, well, how does that affect things based on what you know?
It's weird because on one hand, it's great. Like, cheap again this year. Fifth year option is cheap. Franchise tag's pretty cheap. So, like, all right, yeah, that's right. So this year he's going into his fifth year option. Right. So cheap, and then tags are cheap, and then the next tag is cheap. But so cash-wise, it's okay. Cap-wise, it sucks because, the franchise tag hits the cap all at once. So, like, you can't spread that out like you normally would. But, you know, you have a couple years of cheap. That's kind of not the problem. The problem is, at some point, if he gets free and continues to stay healthy and stays at this level, how high is it going to be? Like, you will have gotten a discount, which is awesome, but at some point you have to pay him. And so, like, that's really the issue, is it looms over you that, like, if he does this, if you don't pay him, like, I don't know, $60 million a year or whatever, who knows, somebody might. So that's where it gets really hard, but not just right now.
Thanks for the time, Ian. Greatly appreciated. Enjoy whatever time off you might possibly even be imagining having. Enjoy it. You deserve it. Thanks again.
I appreciate it. I shopped for a tie for the Kentucky Derby today, so I'll be doing that.
Okay.
Unsuccessfully, and I will enjoy it. And it was great hanging out in Vegas with you as well.
Right back at you. Thanks for the time, Ian. Go. Right. Hopefully you win some bag in Churchill Downs. Enjoy that. Take care.
I won't hold your breath.
You got it. It's Ian Rappaport, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Debo going nowhere, guys. What'd I tell you? He's going nowhere. And we have a new fantasy team name, Rap Sheets Theragun. Can you please write that down? Rap Sheets Theragun.
think it's going to be hard to narrow this list down.
It's good. That's the idea, though, is that we keep on. I mean, it's a year long effort in process. Rap Sheets Theragun, I think it's a good.
I almost wrote that rap with a W.
What was the one we had on Friday, Chris? We had a.
Oh, you had one without me here.
Yeah, we. I forget who.
Did you not write it down?
Thirsty Laker fans.
Thirsty Laker fans.
Thirsty Laker fans.
They're very parched right now, I'll tell you that. All right, when we come back, phone calls and wrapping things up, set up the rest of the week right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Every golf equipment company claims to be longer off the tee, but Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one built to completely bomb it. It's been speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. And every Rogue ST, that's the speed-tuned, is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which means you get more speed on off-center hits. It provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. But it's just the beginning, because Callaway's engineered a Rogue ST for every player. I use the Max. Great combination of distance and forgiveness. There's the Max D, the dedicated draw model for players who like to have more shot shape correction. The Max LS gives you something more low spin and stronger trajectory with a more neutral ball flight. The true players out there, though, the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS is the one for you. It's the one tour players love. Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. Al in St. Petersburg, Florida has been hanging on forever and a day. What's up, Al?
Good morning, Rich.
What's going on, bro?
Yeah, good. Three Bet Brockman, Dr. El Tufo, Grandmaster TJ.
How you guys doing, man? It's a great round the horn.
Excellent. So I'm sitting here sipping a brew on St. Pete Beach after spending the weekend cheering on my mother and the rest of the Atlanta Tri-Sisters crew as they compete in the St. Anthony's Triathlon.
Okay. Nice.
And I'm sitting here wondering, I need to call in to the Rich Eisen Show.
Okay.
And talk to TJ and see if he's willing to go a season-long Braves-Mets bet.
Ooh. Perfect timing, because the Metropolitans are en fuego, as DP would say.
Feeling myself.
Best team in the NL. You got to say yes.
No. I mean, what's the bet, first and foremost?
Say yes.
All right. The bet is the loser has to spend the day wearing the jersey of the other team. Now, I understand you have way more of exposure being on television every day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I would purchase tickets right behind the Braves and Mets home plate, the Braves last series with the Mets here, and wear a Mets jersey to a Braves game.
Wow. And maybe ESPN will capture him like that poor chiropractor right. Wore the Mets Red Sox hat and jersey combo.
Right.
You got to say yes. You got to.
You know,
say
here's
yes.
The deal. I made another bet with a Falcon fan earlier this year. That wasn't Falcons.
That was him.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh,
I'm just in St. Pete.
Gotcha. That's right. Okay, let's do a hat. I have no problem throwing on a Braves hat or something like that.
How about hat for you, jersey for him. Hat for you, jersey for him.
That works. Let's do this.
All right, that'll work. I like that.
Sold.
Either one. Done. Hat or jersey.
Call us back, Al. Call us back. There you go. I love it. You're in good shape.
What a
You're bet. In good shape. You're in good shape.
I forgot that was him because I got the towns mixed up.
You're in good shape. DeGrom's coming back in June, and
our best player hasn't even played yet.
He hasn't even played yet.
Let's go.
There you go.
Yeah, but Scherzer's arm will be dead by August.
That's right.
Perfect timing.
The tag team. You know, one will come out, one will come in. It'll be great.
So let me finish up with this. What do you want in a town that hosts a major NFL event?
Oh, man.
Nightlife.
Here's what you want. You say nightlife?
Yeah,
okay, that's one thing.
Good places to eat.
Good food.
Good places to eat.
No public transportation.
No problems. Get a hotel.
Yeah.
Hotel.
Easy to get around, to or get at least, around. Or easy to get a taxi or a ride share, Uber, or even best, walking.
Walking. Hard for you because your Uber score is so low, but yeah.
Well, I understand. That's why, you know, walking's good for me. You want all that. And you want energy.
Yeah.
Energy.
Vibe. Excitement.
Vibe.
My God, is Las Vegas the perfect town for a major NFL event? We've all known it for a long time. We've all suspected it. Okay, yeah. We've all suspected it for some time. Yeah. But, you know, a very warm place would have had to have frozen over for something like that to happen. And I guess it must have frozen over because the draft was there and it was superb. And the town, as you might expect, absorbed it. Mm-hmm. Absorbed it. It didn't really transform the town in a way. Because there, you still walk around in all these casinos and you saw all these people with their huge lanyards for whatever convention they were there for.
Right.
And just think about it. I just thought to myself, sitting on the set, because the Super Bowl is going there in 2 years from now. Just sitting where I was sitting. I was on the, as you know, right in front of the Bellagio fountains. And to my left is Caesars. When I first went to Vegas, Caesars was a small old hotel. Now it's a massive complex.
Huge, yeah.
And across the street is the Paris Hotel. And to my right is the Cosmopolitan Hotel. And catty-cornered to my right was Planet Hollywood. And kitty-cornered, I guess, to my left was the Flamingo. And over the top of some of these hotels, I saw the Mirage, and I saw both Winds, and I saw the Venetian, and down the road is the Aria. And there's, I mean, I'm not even touching upon the whole thing. There's this new Resorts World that people were raving about.
Resorts World,
And that's more, I think I just need more hotel room space than most every town that's ever hosted the Super Bowl. And the airport is right nearby. You don't have to drive like 50 minutes, not an hour long 15-20 mile trek. I mean, it's all right there.
Perfect.
I finished the draft. I went to go see Sebastian Maniscalco because he started at 10 o'clock at night. Perfect timing.
Amazing.
If the draft ended sooner, I would have gone to see John Legend, and then want to get to see Maniscalco. You got to be kidding me! And Lady Gaga was there, and Bublé was there up the road for people who wanted to go see him, and you want. And the food was incredible. The restaurants are off the charts. I know I sound like I'm running for,
stumping
for mayor or chamber of commerce.
Chamber of commerce, that's what I was saying.
And I didn't even, because I'm an NFL employee, I didn't even hit a table. Could you imagine? I couldn't even imagine.
Well, you wouldn't have slept.
Yeah, you could be. I would.
And
you
so people were coming in from town, out of town. This is perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Vegas
and guess what?
And
guess what? The NFL went to Vegas. And, you know, I haven't checked out anything yet, but the competition hasn't been completely undercut.
Standing. It's all still standing.
Right? Like, we're not, there's no scandal. Everything's still standing. Season's coming.
The best.
Draft was perfect. I mean, this should be like the Olympics. Every other year, it goes to Vegas, either the Super Bowl or the draft.
Yeah, run it back.
Fans would go crazy. They came from all over the place. And
Did you see the video of the group of buddies that had a Ryan Fitzpatrick jersey from every single
team
they've
been on?
That
was great.
Like, that type of stuff happens in Vegas.
Oh, my God. It was incredible. So, bravo, Las Vegas, Nevada. Superb. A+. And everyone was so excited to have everybody from the NFL there, too, because they love the NFL. That's another thing you want from a town with a big NFL event. That'll wrap it up for this Monday show. We'll see you Tuesday.